Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Is that the retro Royals hoodie over there? Is that from 2015?
Yeah, it says World Series on it. I honestly don't remember when I got this. It was in the...
I like it. It's a good-looking hoodie.
It was in the drawer.
Yeah. You know, I never get all the way deep into the hoodie sometimes into the drawer. You take the same, like, six off the top that have just been washed and then put back on the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is a deeper pull.
I get it. It makes sense. Tomorrow I might be wearing t-shirt and shorts and everything. It's going to be a nice couple days. Then
is it supposed to be nice tomorrow?
Yeah, and then on Saturday, again, we're 2 days away from playoff football in Kansas City. It's going to be a cold one out at Arrowhead. But we've done this thing before. We're experienced. We're used to this kind of stuff. In Kansas City, a playoff game with cold weather and certainly nothing like last year's wild card weekend against the Miami Dolphins and everything like that. But yeah, it's going to be a little chilly, to say the least, on Saturday. Kickoff 3:30 right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We're going to talk about it throughout today's show, of course. In about a half hour, we'll be joined by Sarah Walsh from NFL Network. She's a reporter for NFL Network. She'll be in Kansas City. She's covering the team, covering the game. We'll get her perspective, what she's heard as speaking to some of the coaches, etc., throughout the last couple of days leading up to the start of this one. You see her probably on Saturday mornings, this case, NFL game day morning, which starts at 11. So she's going to join us on the show here in about a half hour or so. And our divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. I think we all know the three-peat run. It starts with one Patrick Mahomes. We already mentioned the divisional round success. And that's why, like, when we talk about, hey, does he have to elevate his game and all this? That is what he does every single postseason, right? He literally, that's why the numbers are perfect in this round. He's 6-0. He's got 16 touchdowns. You know, he's got no interceptions. He, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, they all elevate their game this round. So it's like, yeah, we do expect it at this point in time. We do expect that there to be an elevation in Patrick Mahomes' play. And I think the ankle is something that we should also be talking more about. The fact that the last time he played the Texans, that was the first game he played post ankle injury. Remember, that was it seems kind of crazy, but he hurt the ankle against Cleveland, and then he played against Houston. Everybody was worried, oh, is he going to play? And he ended up playing really good, but this time around, he's not going to have any restriction.
I think there's a couple of things that we've probably underemphasized over the course of this run by Patrick Mahomes. And his level of accelerated play is part of it. He has played so much better in the postseason, even compared to some great regular seasons. And for the times that he doesn't gold, that's when they run into problems. His single worst playoff game as, I think, a Kansas City Chief, other than maybe the Bucks one, in which case I don't even know if that counts. He did some superhero stuff in that game. Is the game against Cincinnati that he lost the AFC title game, and eventually he played awful in that game. So I think what it is, like, yes, he has elevated, but I want to make it clear that he has to. The reason why they have won as many Super Bowls as they have is not because they are always the best team. I'll just be honest with you. It's not because every time going into the postseason, the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the league. This year might actually be the case that they are because 15-win team. It's them or the Lions or the Eagles.
Let's look at last year. I mean, the Ravens were the best team in the AFC last year. That was true.
Of course they were. A couple of years ago, I think it might have been Buffalo. But because they had a top-5 defense and a top-5 offense, and Josh Allen was playing lights out. But in the postseason, they'll continue to need Mahomes to perform at that high level of playoff expectation if they're going to three-peat. I mean, they can't be competitive in games or those things, but if a three-peat's going to happen, I want to get into this Texan games and be like, there it is. There it is. There's classic playoff Mahomes. We know he uses his legs more. We know he takes more deep shots. We know he turns the ball over less. And I'll say, lately, that hasn't been a problem anyway. That man has thrown one game worth of interceptions, two total, since week 9. He has thrown zero interceptions since after the Buffalo game in week 11. So from week 12 on, he's thrown no picks. The two previous weeks, he didn't throw any picks. So it's just one game in the last like 10 weeks, he's thrown an interception anyway. So that's already been lowered. The one thing I'd still love to see, and I hate to bring it up again, but it's like, can the deep passing game show up now? Can we?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying they have to have that to win. I think he has to play at a higher level. But I still wouldn't hate to see one in the air, 50-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy once.
Well, I would like to see it. I don't think...
They don't need it.
I don't think that's necessary. I think last year we said, you know, they got to connect on one. That was also because the team, in particular the offense, just didn't have much going. This offense is better positioned this year heading in the postseason than they were a year ago. That, to me, is undeniable based off of what we saw from Hollywood Brown in a couple games, being back with the team now. Obviously, the emergence of Xavier Worthy last year was about Rashee Rice. Travis Kelce, once again, is healthy. They've got a dual threat, a duo in the backfield now with Kareem Hunt. And Isaiah Pacheco, that's not a 1-2 punch that they had a year ago. I know McKinnon was big, but not in the same way we're talking about Kareem Hunt and Pacheco here in the backfield. So I think they're certainly positioned to do that. And the part you said about Mahomes that I've been trying to pinpoint even from a betting angle too, is that it's playoff time. I know Mahomes is willing to run more now. I mean, that's part of elevating his game. He's done it every single postseason. It's why we have the great call from Mitch Holtis from 2019 against the Tennessee Titans. It's an all-time play. It will be one I never forget, where Mitch is on the call and he says, not out of bounds yet, and it's Mahomes going up the sideline against the Titans. Like that's a play we will all, I'm sure, have in our mind for the rest of time. Like that's
the run last year too, because of the ankle, the one right up the middle to seal it.
Yeah, but even the penalty. I mean, the penalty he draws against Osai two years ago, I guess at this point, that was because he was willing to run. Like, he gotta have it play. Remember, they had to have that play. Otherwise, you know, they're not in position to kick a field goal and all of that. So it that's the type of plays that we're more likely to see from him. That goes with elevating his game. It's not just through the air. It's what he's willing to do with his legs. And we've seen it every single postseason. He spoke openly about this. We played the audio, I don't know, it's probably been a month at this point, when someone asked him about how some teams and fans have complained about him during, you know, up the sideline. Does he, you know, is he bending the rules too much and this ridiculousness and all that from other fan bases? And he's like, one, no. But then he also said he knows there's certain plays where he has to have it, and he's willing to risk his body more than he would in a week two game because he knows the situation. Well, it's do or die time. So that's part of why he's been able to elevate his game. So when you're looking at how the game could play out, it would not surprise me if Mahomes gets a rushing touchdown this week. It really wouldn't.
No, it's funny. You and I did not discuss this, but in talking about afterward, we didn't realize we were on the same page. You had said that you like the bets that are Patrick Mahomes' total rushing yards and a rushing touchdown.
Yeah,
I liked
last night.
Patrick Mahomes' longest run at over 12 and a half yards. So, like, without even consulting, we're both like, he's gonna run. That's a statistical fact. It has been pretty much his entire thing. It's kind of amazing to me how few duds he has had in the postseason. Because if you go back through Tom Brady's or some of these other elite-level quarterbacks in the postseason, everyone has a bad game, man. It happens. And sometimes Tom Brady didn't put up big stats and they still won because, you know, he had great defenses and all those things. Mahomes is just better. 25 yards better in the air, 10 yards better on the ground, more touchdowns, less turnovers. He has had, I think, genuinely one dud game in his entire playoff career. And it's that one against Cincinnati a couple of years ago. Three years ago now? Like a different lifetime ago. 3 years? 3 years ago. That's the only time I remember him just being, because even as I'd mentioned in that Tampa Bay game, he was doing superhero stuff, man. He just trying to stay alive for the most part during that one. And that's why it's always just like, I can't even rule out like the blowouts in a lot of ways, even though we mentioned the close game stuff yesterday, they sometimes feel more likely in the postseason.
Well,
because if he's an unstoppable monster, then how are you going to beat him?
We know this is the first game of this postseason because of the bye. And I think it was Scott Kaxmar who went through, in years in which Mahomes was healthy heading into a postseason, we know the ankle is not 100%, but it's as good as it's been in weeks. So last year, in their first playoff opener, they win by 19. In 2021, in their first playoff opener of that year, they won by 21 against the Steelers, 42-21. In 2019, we all know, against these Texans, 51-31, they won by 20. And then even in 2018... they won 31-13 over the Colts by 18. So the margin of victory in playoff openers, whether it was wild card weekend last year or this year, we're talking about divisional round, the Chiefs have put up some impressive performances, not just squeaking by in the divisional round. So for those wondering, like, hey, you know, how close could this game be and everything, the Chiefs 2018, 2019, 2021, and 2023, in all those games to open up the postseason, they were at least 18-point victories.
Yeah.
And I know you'd be like, well, the offense is not as good. Well, right now, I actually think it's pretty good.
Over the last few weeks, I mean, again, it's tough because we got to just erase that Denver game because it was Carson Wentz starting and a bunch of backup offensive linemen, sure. And we've had questions about their starting offensive linemen.
But 29 against Pittsburgh, 27 against Houston, 21 against Cleveland. Those are the three games that have mattered, right?
Still not scored in the 30s, funny enough.
Well, remember, we know that it was the Texans game. They slid down. They could have got a touchdown. Or it was the Steelers game where they had the 30 points, but they decided to slide down.
And the Steelers game, they really didn't have to get to 30. It did not matter. And Andy's not going to just score 30 to score it. It doesn't mean, like, especially in a game that's so locked up, you don't even have to worry about it, which was certainly the Pittsburgh game and a few others. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, once again, another postseason where you can just shove it in everyone's face, where you're like, here comes Mahomes again.
Meanwhile, nationally, the game everybody is talking about, and here I'm very interested in it as well, is Sunday Night Football, and hopefully we're really interested because we're waiting to see who the Chiefs are playing the next weekend for the AFC title game. But I'm of course talking about Bills and Ravens. Buffalo is a slight home underdog. It's the first time the Bills are an underdog in the postseason since Lynn Dawson went in there in 1968 and blew out the Buffalo Bills when the Bills were 3.5-point dogs. So it's been a long time since Buffalo has been an underdog at home in the postseason. It looks like that's what it's going to be unless more line movement happens. We were looking at the Bills' playoff runs the last couple years, and we know they've run into Patrick Mahomes. Okay, yeah, he's going to be very difficult to get past. And
sure,
that's the story.
That would make sense.
How big of a game is this for Sean McDermott? Like, because Josh Allen has played massive in every game. He's been great. And we all know the 13-second game. I don't have to tell people how awesome that was. And both quarterbacks played great. The Chiefs ultimately win. Sean McDermott made a mistake late in the game. The Bills, did you guys realize, had beaten these quarterbacks the last four seasons in the postseason? Mac Jones, Skylar Thompson.
Mac Jones in the playoffs?
Mason Rudolph. And Bo Nix, who they just beat. The point being, Bo Nix is the best quarterback they have beat in the playoffs in the last 4 years. They're playing Lamar on Sunday. Of course, that goes to the top of the list if they beat the Ravens. But that's crazy. I think it's a huge game for Sean McDermott. Not that he's getting fired if they lose to Baltimore. That's not my point at all. But Sean McDermott and the Bills have not beat a quality quarterback in the postseason in 4+ years. When Bo Nix is the best quarterback out of that group, I mean, Mac Jones was not a real starter. Skylar Thompson's just not a starter. Mason Rudolph, sorry, Drew, not a starter.
Maybe for Tennessee
We were joking yesterday, for those that don't know. That's why I said that. And then Bo Nix, we all agree he's going to be a starter for a while, I think, at Denver. So that's crazy. They have not beat a quality quarterback. If they lose to Lamar, who's great, it's like, man, Sean McDermott, your wins in the playoffs have been against kind of scrubs for the most part.
I mean, I get that it's hard to get past Patrick Mahomes, but you didn't, like, beat Lamar once or Burrow once or, I don't care, C.J. Stroud. Like, if I'm not even sure we bring this up if one of those four quarterbacks was, like, someone that we took even, like, moderately seriously. Bo Nix is probably the closest, and he's a rookie. And I don't know how many times I got to point out that I would not just, like, pencil in Bo Nix as being, like, a top 10, 15 starter in the NFL because he had one good rookie season all the time in the league. Hell, Mac Jones was obviously in a playoff game at some point when he was a rookie or in his second year. I don't know which one of those years it was.
I think it might have been his first year or something like that.
That's pretty bad, man. And if you start going through the losses, that's where you start to realize the mistake. In those same 4 years, the quarterbacks he lost to are Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Burrow. And then you're like, okay, well, then what if you go 5 years back? It's better because then he's got a win against Lamar in 2020, but then a win against, I don't know, in 2020 in the Colts. Was that Matt Ryan? Who was starting for him that year?
It might have been Phillip Rivers.
Okay. Phillip Rivers.
It was one of those two.
It was one of those older quarterbacks.
So again, so he beat Lamar that in 2020, but lost to Mahomes again. So in his entire playoff career since 2020, because the previous ones, they didn't have any wins, right? 2017, he wasn't even the starter. 2019, he made the playoffs for the first time, and he lost to the Houston Texans, which probably would have been Deshaun Watson during that time. So in his entire playoff career, he has one win against a legitimate quarterback. It is Lamar Jackson in 2020. Other than that, he has lost to the good quarterbacks. That is not a good streak once you start looking at it for Sean McDermott. And yeah, I put it more on McDermott than Josh Allen, because you'd be like, well, how? Josh Allen, statistically, is one of the single best playoff performers ever. His numbers do not appear to be the issue for why they are losing the game. You're like, what happens late game? I don't know. In that 13-second game, he took his team all the way down the field for the game-winning touchdown. His coach screwed it up in the final 13 seconds, thus costing them the game. He's beaten one legitimate quarterback and none in the last 4 years. This stat makes me feel like the Ravens are winning. I don't want to put it just on that, but
it's not because of this stat, yeah. But I do like the Ravens in the game. I just thought it was interesting. That's not why I'm picking the Ravens to win. As we've discussed with Nate Taylor and Ross Tucker, I don't think it's a great matchup for the Bills. I don't think they're willing to commit to the run and stopping Derrick Henry maybe the way that they should. Someone asked, hey, what about Lamar Jackson, though? Who have the Ravens beat quarterback-wise recently? That's a fair question. I was trying to look it up real quick because someone texted in. If we remember, go all the way back to Lamar's first playoff game was in 2018. That would have been against the Herbert wasn't in the league yet, right?
2019 is probably where you need to start.
So we got to go past that one. But he lost. Remember, they led. Lamar had two touchdowns, or whatever. But he struggled. He completed just half of his passes. They lost.
Their wins aren't good either.
He's 3-4 in the postseason. They took on the Titans in 2019. Remember, that's the year where they got upset at home by the sixth seed. Lamar had 59 pass attempts and 20 rushing attempts, and they lost. 28-12.
Yeah. And then Tennessee, they beat the following year and then lost to Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, lost to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, lost to Patrick Mahomes the year after that, beat Houston in that same year, beat Pittsburgh this year. So no, they haven't. Lamar Jackson has beaten one other, but I will say
Ryan Tannehill and a few other quarterbacks.
There's one very clear difference between what we're taking place here. One is that Joe Burrow has won a disproportionately high number compared to them. He has beaten Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen in the playoffs more than they've beaten him pretty clearly at this point. So he's been better if he can ever get there to the playoffs. He's been able to do it. But the other part about it is, we don't view the Bills and the Ravens as equal playoff performers. We crushed Lamar Jackson for being historically a bad
playoff performer.
So we put this more on Lamar Jackson. I think this is to your point, what you're saying is why it feels so big for McDermott. How can you be getting this performance from your quarterback and then still losing it? We can talk about the game itself and how we think it's going to go here in a little bit, because obviously it's the biggest game of the weekend for Chiefs fans. It isn't the Chiefs game. But yeah, I think it's massive for McDermott, because if he keeps losing playoff games like this to the superior quarterback, or this with the superior quarterback in a lot of people's eyes, not always the case. I think Lamar and Josh Allen are about the same as far as quality, but it's at some point they're going to criticize you for that and you're going to lose your job. Meanwhile, I couldn't believe that we're going to continue this time, not Cincinnati fans, so credit to them. But this is the same kind of energy. This is loser behavior, and I need everyone to know that. Sean Payton was doing a radio interview, and he was talking about their playoff loss, to which he's decided to be confident about a hypothetical game that they did not even get to. This is Sean Payton talking about his confidence level had they gotten past Buffalo.
You know, and there's a lot of confidence in this team. If we could get past that game, the next game we had to play, we felt real good about. And so we're still not there yet, and yet we're a lot closer than we were at this time a year ago.
We felt a lot better about the next game. But you lost the other one.
So that
he's
was
essentially saying we think we were going to beat the
Chiefs. Yeah, it was an end of season wrap up press conference. That's not how this whole thing works. You don't get a lose in the playoffs and then say, well, we would have won the next one. It doesn't work that way. The other part is, I feel like he said that beginning, like, and then he realized how dumb that sounded, and that's why he paused.
And there's a lot of confidence in this team. If we could get past that game, the next game we had to play, we felt real good about.
And then then the rest of the time he's like stumbling and pausing. I think he realized how maybe dumb that sounded. I don't know why you would say that out loud. Like that is, you're right. That is exactly what we heard for, I don't know, 2 months about a team that didn't make the playoffs. Like, we're not going to make the playoffs, but boy, you don't want to see it. That was my whole point on the Cincinnati crap that was annoying, was like, you can't say you're so dangerous and we'll beat you if we get to the playoffs. You got to get to the playoffs. You can't say we would have beat Kansas City the next week. If you're Denver, you got to win the game to get to play Kansas City. That's not how this whole thing works. You know, you know how many teams probably in fan bases deep down, well, if we wouldn't have gotten blown out this week, we would have been in the Super Bowl, you know? Like, give me a break. That's not how this works.
It's such sad behavior.
They also got their ass kicked by Buffalo, ultimately. They got up 7-0, and we're like, okay.
And it was 13-7 in the third, but by that time,
they missed the field goal before half. Once they missed the field goal before halftime, it was over.
That game was over from the beginning. They were never beating Buffalo. This false confidence, they hyped themselves. Like, they're still thinking they live rent-free somehow in Chiefs fans' heads because they beat them in a Week 18 game that Carson Wentz started. Listen, Denver fans, or Sean McDermott, if you happen to listen to the show, because you're curious.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, sorry. Oh, we were talking Sean McDermott. Yeah, Sean Payton, if you happen to be listening to the show because you're like, I want to see what Kansas City radio is talking about. But the idea that we would care. I won't even remember 2 weeks from now the final score of that Week 18 game that Carson Wentz started. I don't care.
Were there really Denver fans flexing after that win?
Yes. There were Broncos fans, and clearly Sean Payton, who were convinced they could then win any game against the Chiefs because, well, if we can win 38-0 with our starters versus their backups, clearly this is a win with our starters versus their starters. Man. Look how good our starters are. The Chiefs were asleep at the wheel. They didn't care about this game. And the second it got to like 17-0, then you really saw the apathy set in. Like, okay, we're going to pack up shop here today, fellas. Nobody cares about this game. Cool. There have just been so many fan bases. And I think that's what it is. There's so many fan bases over the last 5 years ago that we have to do this with. Like when the Raiders drove a bus around Arrowhead because they won one singular A regular season game against Kansas City.
Antonio Pierce's past offseason, not even the player that did the Kermit the Frog, but Pierce said, we've got the Mahomes rules now. Like
we got them figured out. Because they like made Christmas harder one time. It's fine. Or, you know, or they beaten them on a short week on, you know, 5 years ago.
There should be a rule that
you could beat a team once. It's not that big a deal.
There should be a rule that you can't say anything unless you beat them while they're playing their starters. Like I know the Bengals fans. The Bengals fans can be exhausting, and I understand. But for Denver and the Raiders, you at least have to beat their starters and be able to hang it over their heads a little bit. I know that the Raiders won on Christmas or whatever it was, so maybe they have some room to talk a little bit. But to act like you would have beat them no matter what if you would have made it past the first round of the playoffs, it's just egregious.
It's also just pretending like Denver, under previous systems, wouldn't even have been in the playoffs. So I just want to make that clear. Under the old system, which was six teams, they wouldn't even be in it. And they were playing bad football the previous 2 weeks, so they had to play Week 18. They lost to Cincinnati and the Chargers, or they wouldn't even have had to play their starters in that game either. They had to play the final week of the season because they had lost their previous 2 weeks playing not good football, sitting at 9-7. Now all of a sudden you're like, well, if we'd gotten past Buffalo, then the Chiefs were in trouble. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, it's just, you don't get to skip over and play the game of we would have beat this team when you didn't make it to the important round that is required. Yeah, like the Miami Dolphins. You know, last year got their ass kicked by the Chiefs in the wild card weekend. At least Mike McDaniel didn't come out and say, you know, if we would have beat the Chiefs, we felt really good that we were going to go to the Super Bowl. Like, you can't say that out loud. Like, you come off like an idiot when you do that.
I don't think at any level. Like, I don't think Chiefs fans should, like, get into a game. Like, let's just say, like, the year that the Cincinnati played the Rams. I do think the Chiefs would have beaten the Rams in that Super Bowl. I'm not going to boast about it.
Well, Andy Reid definitely didn't have a press conference saying, yeah, thank you. We would have won the Super Bowl, you know, if we would have got past Cincinnati. You don't say that.
That's a weird thing to say. You talk about the game that you lost and how you came up short in that moment.
Hey, you know what? Georgia, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Alabama.
You know what? Honestly, you sound like an SEC fan for the college football playoff.
Alabama would have won. You know what? If we would have got there, you know what? We would have beaten those guys. And maybe also it is you were looking ahead. Apparently, Sean Payton was looking ahead to the Chiefs anyways. That's why he couldn't come up with a better game plan against Josh Allen.
Undefeated.
He was looking ahead.
Undefeated in hypothetical games. I'm also undefeated in hypothetical hot dog races, you know? Against people that I've never raced. Like, sure. The other ones, forget about it. I'm undefeated on the hypothetical stage.
Cody's having dreams of just crossing the finish line first, finally.
Mm-hmm. 0 for 4, right?
0 for 4. I'd like to be back. If you're listening, I'd like to be back this year. I'll be going.
I think they should let other people have an opportunity.
If the Golden Sombrero is a real thing in baseball, I should be allowed to go for the Golden Sombrero.
There's other people, you know, out there have just never had an opportunity to do it.
No.
You're basically stealing people's chances?
I think so.
Yeah,
at this
you're basically
point.
Taking somebody's spot to not win.
I did it once and I was done. Once and it's done. I got to live out my dream of running in a hot dog derby. I'm good. I'm good to go at this point in time.
In fairness, Cody, you did lose to a former professional athlete in one of those races. So,
well, that one, yeah. I don't
know if you can count
that
one. I
don't even have, like, the ones that I lost that I felt like I had a chance to win, yeah, I wish I had raced better or
you
whatever.
You had Nate beat, too.
But, Matt Beisler race,
see, that's
that
the only
that
thing,
race was over from the very
that's
beginning.
The only thing, like, I think it almost, it sounds, you should phrase it that way because it makes it sound better when you're like, I lost to a former professional athlete. No, you also lost to a beat writer for the Kansas City Chiefs, Nate Taylor. You didn't finish in second. You didn't only lose. You lost to a beat writer and the former professional athlete.
Nate
right?
Taylor didn't wasn't Nate in finish? That race against Beisler. Oh,
okay. Who finished second? Did you?
Yes, because Bob also raced, and Bob just...
No, Nate different, Taylor different race, one. Yeah. No.
No.
And that one? No, I finished third. I let up. And I'll be honest, I'm not even going to kid. That was like week 18 Chiefs. The second that... Matt Beisler blew, like, the second Matt Beisler put some real separation, I'm like, okay, this race is over.
All right, up next, let's get a national perspective, not only on Chiefs-Texans, but what could happen to that AFC showdown Sunday night as well with the Bills and the Ravens. Sarah Walsh from NFL Network, she's going to be in Kansas City this weekend covering the game. We'll get her.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Perspective next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder, tomorrow we're going to be up at Rally House, Berrywoods Crossing, getting set for the postseason. That means it's time for you to get out to your local Rally House, gear up, go back-to-back-to-back in the kingdom. I think I missed a back there too, Cody. Back-to-back-to-back.
Get the right number. Uh-huh.
Yeah, make sure three-peed for Chiefs Kingdom. Also, Rally House is rushing in new gear for the playoffs, including official Chiefs postseason gear, the latest styles to cheer on your team. You can shop at 16 KC Metro locations and online at rallyhouse.com. So hope to see you guys up north. Tomorrow we'll be there 10 to 2. We'll also have some gift cards to give away. Perfect time to get stocked up and ready to go for the game on Saturday, which you can hear right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to go out to the hotline right now. Someone that's covering this Chiefs and Texans showdown on Saturday here in KC is Sarah Walsh, NFL Network reporter. You can see Sarah on NFL Network's NFL Game Day morning, Saturday at 11 a.m. KC time. Sarah, it's great to have you on the show. I got to ask, though, you got the winter gear ready to roll? It's going to be a little cold on Saturday here in KC.
Guys, let me set the scene for you, and you're about to hate me, but I live in Tampa, Florida, and I am getting the kids ready for school this morning, and the weatherman says we're not going to get out of the 60s today, and my son, who's 8 years old, I'm not kidding, he goes, oh my God, what are we going to do? And when he said that, I was like, okay, I have raised weather soft children just like myself, and they have zero comprehension about what I'm going to go into when I get to Kansas City tomorrow. But so, like, this is the household I live in that they don't know if they can function leaving the house when it's not going to get out of the 60s today.
Like, they're going to want a heated vest
for me.
They want a heated vest just to get out of the 60?
We actually do wear heated vests. I'm not kidding. I know. You guys, I am not qualified to be covering this, in terms of the temperature out there. I can cover the game, but yeah, no, this is going to be like a harsh reality. Like, we've got the heated vest getting ready to get packed. I got some new, heated hand things that I'm going to test out. It's going to be great.
As far as Kansas City goes, I know it's a divisional round game, so we try not to take them too lightly, even in Kansas City, because playoff games are playoff games. But as far as comfort goes, I don't feel like it gets much more comfortable for the Chiefs than this. They're at home. They're a heavy favorite against a team that's never gotten out of the divisional round. This is a round in which they've been nearly perfect. Is this one of those games you think from the outside it's easy to just feel incredibly comfortable for Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, I think what would help them be a little bit uncomfortable is when you watch what the Texans did last week, because obviously, there was a lot of people saying that the Chargers were going to just blow through them. They have not had, obviously, the Texans have had issues and had lulls at times this season. But when you see what that defense did, you know, and the league does such a good job with parity. And I know this is hard to sell to a Kansas City audience when you guys have just literally dominated everything the last couple of years here in the NFL. But, you know, that whole idea of Evan any given Sunday, I think when you see the speed at which this Texans defense plays, and I think also when you look at, and this will, I'm sure the message inside that Chiefs building is how many close games that they've played, right? And if you would have lost one of them, and they're so good in those situations, right? And if you would have lost one of them, it wouldn't matter. They'd still be in the spot that they're in, but you can't do that now, right? So I don't think, yes, you're right in terms of, is it comfortable? It's comfortable weather-wise for them. It's comfortable crowd-wise for them. It's comfortable in terms of experience for them. All of those things. They're getting Kansas City, getting guys healthy at the right time. Yes, it should all add up to a Kansas City win, but I think this is, you know, part of the reason Andy Reid is so good at what he does is I don't think for a second those guys are allowing those thoughts to be entertained as much as the rest of us are.
We're talking to Sarah Walsh, NFL Network reporter here on 96.5 The Fan. For us, looking at the Texans, whether it was last week's game or we all know they played each other back in week 16, for the Texans to pull off what we think would be one of the biggest upsets in the last decade in the NFL, frankly, considering everything that's going on in a three-peat campaign, this Texans team is going to have to force multiple turnovers. Maybe they don't need four interceptions like they got off of Herbert, but how do you see that being the formula? Is that the formula, I guess, for the Texans to maybe make this thing really interesting?
I think it's fair to say that they would have to play the greatest game they've ever played. C.J. Stroud would have to play out of his mind, which is not impossible, right? Things like that have happened. But he can't have an average performance. He can't even have a really good performance. I mean, he would have to be out of his mind, I think, to pull that off. I think he understands that. Everything, and I said this last night on NFL Network, it's so cliche to say it comes down to turnovers, but at this time of year, it absolutely does. And they were just there in week 16. CJ turned it over twice. Patrick Mahomes didn't turn it over at all, and he hasn't turned it over in quite a while. I think what you're seeing out of a Kansas City team where people had a lot of questions about them, which is crazy considering how many wins they have. But, you know, there were times this year that people had questions. Well, is this the same kind of Kansas City team? They sort of get it together at the right time. And that's what the best teams do. They win it in the moment you have to win it. This team can step on your throats when they need to step on your throats. And they have this veteran leadership from Andy, from Mahomes, from that whole group. So I don't think anything is completely impossible, and I do think that Texans defense is really good. I do think they can force things, but I think you're asking a lot of C.J. Stroud to come in there and do what it would take to win that game. You know, and I think the Chiefs are multiple on offense in a way that the Texans are going to have to be, but you know, we know it's Nico Collins. We know it's Joe Mixon. And then after that, there's going to have to be some factor we're not really talking about that would have to do damage, because I'm assuming if I'm Steve Spagnuolo and I'm this Chiefs defense, you're looking at those two guys and C.J. Stroud and you say, we got to take away them. So now who else is going to beat us? And I think that's what the Texans would have to come up with an answer for.
What do you attribute to the struggles for C.J. Stroud this year? Just like normal. The league's got tape on you, sophomore stuff. It's mostly on the offensive line. His plays decline because obviously he doesn't look as good this year as he did in his rookie year. Although the yardage and touchdowns are kind of similar. It's the interceptions that are up. Where do you think his decline in play is coming from?
Well, some of it, they've had a banged up line. They've had a really banged up line. I don't know what his sack numbers are. He's been sacked a ton. I want to say like 52 times or something he's been sacked this year. That doesn't help. You know, he had such a breakout season last year that, you know, I to your point, people start to adjust. There isn't tape on him. So I think it's a myriad of things, but I don't think it's a situation where this guy doesn't have the potential and is still going to be really good. I mean, he's really young, and he's been asked to lead this team. And I think last year there was sort of that surprise, right? You go back to the Jags like a couple years ago. I mean, remember they were down and out, and then they went on this amazing run and they get into the playoffs and Trevor Lawrence and the Jags are going to be the next thing, right? And it hasn't been that again. So I think when we talk about the drop off of CJ Stroud, I don't think it's as big of a gap as people, you know, sort of make it out to be. But then like, and look at who he's having to go up against. I mean, he's having to go into Arrowhead, which I mean, nobody can get it. The best of the best haven't been able to get it done there. So, I don't think the drop off is as severe. I think he's going to have to use his legs on Saturday. I think they know that. And I mean, he's going to have to make play. I mean, the best play they had in the last game on offense was a play that was really a broken play and he turned it into something.
How difficult
do you have to have some lucky bounces go your way?
You mentioned like how good Houston's defense is. How difficult is it to guard the Chiefs right now in your mind with Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce at all? Obviously, they're very deep on the offensive side. How difficult is it to just like coverage-wise guard them?
Well, I think it's difficult because of the names that you just named. And then I think it's difficult because Patrick Mahomes, because you could throw out some other names and Patrick Mahomes is going to make something happen to them. And I think that's therein lies the problem. It's like when we just talked about the Texans and you go, okay, Joe Mixon and Nico Collins, and like, here's these two guys. And like, this is very, you know, black and white in terms of like, here's what we got to cover. It's just the manner and the multiple ways in which Kansas City gets it done. And when you look at all these championships, like, it's been built on offense some years. This defense has been incredible. They just do so many different things, different ways. And then Patrick, you know, D'Amico Ryan's talked about how hard he is to sack and how this guy can always go to this short pass and they can always draw. I mean, he's, you know, sort of that like broken down play, which was the crux of the Texans last week, where it breaks down and CJ Stroud picks it up on a bounce and throws it. I mean, Patrick Mahomes does that regularly and you can't defend against that, right? I mean, like they didn't draw that up. The Chargers aren't like, oh, here's what's going to happen. And we've just seen Patrick Mahomes. He's so comfortable in situations like that. So when you say how difficult is it to defend, I mean, I think it kind of all goes back to Mahomes there, because you can put out a litany of superstars in which they have had in the past, and they have, and then you can go to unknowns. And I think when you have a guy that's as talented as he is, he's going to find a way to make those guys look like superstars. And so therein lies the problem with guarding a guy like that. Now, I think that secondary on Houston's really good. They're opportunistic. They have guys that will make plays. Obviously, we've seen it. And, you know, the other positive thing for them is they didn't just do it last week against Herbert, and that's obviously getting all the attention. I mean, they made Jared Goff look silly. Jared Goff's a really good quarterback, right? They've done it to some pretty big names this year. So I think that's what they pride themselves on. I think that's going to be tough. I think that's still going to be a challenge for the Chiefs. I just don't know if offensively Stroud and those guys can make enough plays against the Kansas City defense.
Couple more minutes here with Sarah Walsh from NFL Network. Again, you can see Sarah on NFL Network's NFL Game Day morning Saturday at 11 a.m. How do you compare, I guess, what we're experiencing right now with the Chiefs run? We know they're going for a three-peat. It's never been done in the Super Bowl era in the NFL. And then I don't know if you were at NFL Network during the Patriots years, but you obviously followed that closely in some extent. Way fans and media covered the Chiefs versus then, is it just as here we see what we think sometimes are conspiracy theories, et cetera, that get thrown out about, you know, and all this, and we kind of roll our eyes. Is it just as simple as, hey, the Chiefs are winning, the Patriots won, people didn't like them either? I'm curious from your perspective how you view the way these teams are viewed as well.
Are you asking me if they're like the bad guys of the league now?
Yeah, for sure.
Like everyone's again, well, so when the Patriots were like really in the heyday of their run, I was at ESPN and it was all Patriots all the time. And again, some of that is, I mean, Tom Brady, right? And it's the same thing with you guys. And I think it's just, I think the narrative is funny in the sense of you can be the underdog, right? And everyone can be for you. And that first Chiefs victory, like, you know, like, look, oh, shucks, this is great. And this is out in the Midwest. And look at Patrick Mahomes. And I think collectively, you know, everyone was happy, right? Good guy, good team, good people, all these things. And then you win two, and it's like, okay, well, that's cool. Like, they repeated, and then you do it again. I mean, when you're looking, some of these stats, as I'm, like, getting ready for this game, I mean, it's insane to think that, like, they're going for their seventh AFC championship game. Like, I mean, that's all you know. And I remember, I'll give you, like, here's an example. Tom Brady comes to Tampa, and then I was covering them for NFL Network here in Tampa. And I remember, and the Bucs had, it had been a long stretch since they had been in the postseason. There were so many guys on this team, big names that like had been there like 7-8 years, never even sniffed the playoffs. And I remember after they got like a hat and t-shirt, and it wouldn't have been for the conference championship. It might've been for the division or maybe going to the plus, but there was some point where like I'm on the field and they get a hat and t-shirt and they're like, oh, we want to take pictures. And Gronk's like, I just remember him going like, for what? And we're like, oh, this is a big deal. And like, it didn't even like occur to him. Like, unless it was the Super Bowl, like it didn't even occur to them because that's how far into this stretch of like, they win all the time. Like, it wasn't a big deal to win the division. It wasn't a big deal to get in the playoffs. It's not even a big deal to get to the like championship game. They're just like, oh yeah, like whatever. We're supposed to put this on. Like, they didn't care anymore in the sense of like, the goals are bigger. Right. And so I think once you, though, start dominating, well, then everyone, you sort of lose that, like, aw, shucks. And so now you go from being sort of this favorite that everyone loves to everyone wants to see you get toppled. And I think that, I don't think that's an anti-Kansas City thing. I don't think it's an anti-New England thing. I think it's a sports thing, right? Like, when someone just starts to dominate, you want to knock them off the pedestal. And I think that collectively that's, like, probably what you're seeing in Kansas City. And then I think the manner in which they've gotten stuff done this year, everyone's like, oh, we had them, but nobody has them. Like, that's the thing. Like, how many times have they won in close games? And if it comes down to the final, you know, ticks of that clock, you're like, they're going to win. Like, I mean, they just do it. They do it all the time. I was at the Chiefs Panthers game in Carolina, and Panthers are desperate for a win. And imagine if they could knock off the Chiefs. This was earlier this year. And of course the Chiefs, I mean, there are no moral victories, right? So how many teams can sit there and go, oh, we came so close. And it just doesn't matter because at the end, they just take care of business. And so I think there's so many people out there that are just like waiting for them to get knocked off. And like, it just doesn't, it hasn't happened. And the Texans have I agree with you. It would be one of the biggest upsets that we have seen in an incredibly long time if Kansas City doesn't win that game on Saturday.
Real quick, Sarah, who do you think, if the Chiefs win, who do you think could be coming to Arrowhead next week? Because Sunday night's game is going to be incredible, I think, between the Bills and Ravens.
Oh, my God. It's going to be incredible. I have had times, more than once, having seen the Ravens this year, that I had this feeling of, like, I think this is it. Like, I think this is finally their year. I have had those. Like, I'm the worst. Like, don't ask me for brief. I've had moments with the Bills where I'm like, this has got to be Josh Allen's year. I'm going to go Josh Allen. I think it's the Bills there. And then I think, it just feels like everyone's talking about that game. I can't even imagine if it's Bills and Chiefs, and I'll be right. I would assume I'd be right back in Arrowhead the following week too, if that happened. It would be incredible. But if you're asking me, like, I think Josh Allen would be there.
All right, well, pack the cold weather gear because it's definitely not going to be 60 on Saturday morning. That's for sure.
Well, actually, it's true. It's not going to get out of the 60s. So it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, exact same thing. Sarah, appreciate the time. Safe travels to KC.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Sarah Walsh, NFL Network reporter. You can see Sarah Saturday morning on NFL Game Day morning starting at 11 a.m.
It might not even get out of the 16s on Saturday.
I think the wind chill,
let alone the 60s. Her saying? Kids are soft. 60 degrees, they were complaining about it?
You grow up in Tampa? I mean, if we grew up in Tampa, I'm sure it'd be the exact same thing. That's what's crazy. There's like 60. But you know, but even on a smaller scale, you know how that is here. The first day in spring that it's, you know, 58 or 60, like, oh, it's time for shorts. But the time in the fall it's 58 or 60, people are like, it's freezing,
like,
outside.
Honey weather.
That's just, you know, your body's not used to it. But Yeah, going to be a cold one, to say the least, at Arrowhead. I think last check, one of the local stations said wind chill during the game. Wind chill, not temp, but wind chill was looking at like 12 to 15, potentially. Nothing like Miami last year, wild card game.
No. Beers aren't going to be freezing as you hold them.
We've done this thing before, you know.
Didn't people lose some digits, like some fingers in the game last year?
It was very bad last year. I mean, that was historically bad weather. And yeah, some people did not have like ears covered. And I remember there were multiple stories that local hospitals had people that had to be treated for frostbite. Unfortunately, some people lost like pieces of their ear. It's awful.
Keep headgear on, though. Yeah. If it's that cold, dress appropriately for the thing.
We've been through this. So yeah, you definitely, you know, you got the, like, I'll have the Under Armour, like, Long John type stuff on or whatever. If I end up going as a fan, I'm going to the game. I just don't know if I'm going as a fan or going to be in the press box, which, you know, the press box is weird.
It's not warm either.
It's weird. The front row, not really complaining about it. It's not cold like outside. You don't have the wind. You don't have the wind in the press box. A little bit different.
But anyway, it feels like they need to like reglaze or something those windows. They've done a poor job in the insulation of those windows. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you mentioned the Ravens and Bills games. Let's talk a little bit about that game because we know that that's the inevitable opponent we think is coming to Kansas City because we all think they're going to get past Houston. We haven't given official score predictions. Maybe Drew goes the Texans. I doubt it. But so
that would be something.
I mean, I know you and I aren't.
Yeah, spoiler. I'm picking the Chiefs to win. I know that's shocking.
I picked the Chiefs 15 out of 17 times this year.
I know.
I'm in the same
boat
as you boys.
That's why I said I didn't think you would. I haven't picked against the Chiefs. I've picked against the Chiefs in the regular season. I have not picked against the Chiefs over the last two postseasons, and I don't regret it, obviously, based on that. Yeah. The Ravens-Bills game feels like it. Your entire reputation is on this game. And does that kind of suck for both of them? Yeah. But this is the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson reputation game. Because at this point, it looks like Lamar Jackson is going to be a three-time MVP winner. So if he wins, he'll be a three-time MVP winner who can at least get past Josh Allen. No, it doesn't solve all of his problems, but he can play good in a big game. He can advance. If you lose to the Chiefs, it's still that's the one team you can't get past. But if you're Lamar Jackson, you're the MVP winner who can't even ever get past the other good teams. You can't ever get past Burrow. You can't ever get past Josh Allen. It's going to tell your same story. And the same thing goes to Josh Allen. You got zero MVPs. You can't even get past Lamar. You've only been in this case, whoever loses, will only have been in a single AFC championship game. This is a huge legacy game for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And I honestly think the Ravens are the better team. I just won't rule out the Bills winning because of how good I think Josh Allen is in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think with these two opponents, nobody should be surprised with either team winning. I mean, that's how close the Ravens and the Bills are. I told you, I think the Ravens win, but nobody would be stunned if either result happens. I think it is interesting, the legacy stuff, and legacies are made in the postseason, and we know the narratives are what they are. They're narratives for a reason, typically. And for Josh Allen and Lamar, they're both in similar spots. I mean, for Lamar, how he's going to be judged, and I guess Josh Allen, too, is strictly... He's gotten to such a level that he's won all these MVPs and looks like he could win another this year that the only way people are going to judge him differently is if he gets to a Super Bowl. Maybe wins one, but at least get to a Super Bowl. That's the only thing that people are waiting for now. Like, yeah, play better in the postseason. Sure, winning on Sunday would help that and get him to 500 and have a big win against Josh Allen. It would get him in back-to-back AFC title games as a quarterback, which is not something anybody other than Mahomes has done here recently as far as back-to-back AFC title games as a quarterback. And that's huge, but I think Lamar is now strictly judged on can he get to a Super Bowl? Because other than that,
so you think
the regular
that this
season
doesn't move his needle a ton?
No, I mean, like, I think it applies for both Allen and Lamar. Like they're both. Everybody recognizes they're some of the best quarterbacks in the league. They've Josh Allen hasn't won the MVP yet, but he's put together a season where I think he should win it this year. He's not going to, I don't believe, but I think he should. And it's all about getting past Mahomes or whoever that AFC title game matchup is going to be. It looks, and I think it'll end up being Mahomes, so do you. And so that's how we view it. We all know they can do all the stats in the regular season and they can be a number one seed because they've both done that before.
And they can
and
win
all
their
this.
Divisions but and the things we expect. Yeah,
it's about getting this. That's how they've reached that level. Like when we discuss CJ Stroud, it's not like, oh, got to get to a Super Bowl. No, for him, it's get to an AFC title game. That's like the next step for him. Eventually win an MVP. But Allen and Lamar, it's get to a Super Bowl. And it is going to be, I think it was Ross Tucker that told us yesterday, like, it's a devastating loss whoever loses Sunday night.
That I completely agree with that because the Super Bowl part of it is tough because, again, to this point, their two careers combined, which, what, spans 10 years between the two of them? 11 years? But their two careers combined, they've only had a chance to go to the Super Bowl twice. They both lost to Mahomes in that opportunity, but they've only had a chance to do it twice. So neither of them have been regularly getting late into the playoffs. And look, Joe Burrow lands into that too. He's only been to the AFC title game once. Hell, he's only been to the playoffs twice.
He hasn't gone in a couple of years.
And when you start looking at it, you're like, and I get it. Like the numbers are rigged in Mahomes' favor so high that you can't even, like, it's hard to fathom what it's supposed to be like for a regular quarterback. Because I'm telling you that those three guys combined have appeared in an AFC title game a total of three times. And if Mahomes wins this game on Saturday, he will have appeared in it seven consecutive.
Yeah, Sarah Walsh, who just joined us on her report last night on NFL Network, she had the timeline, and it just puts what you just said in even deeper perspective, which is that the last time Mahomes was not in an AFC title game, C.J. Stroud was an underclassman in high school. That's what she said last night. I was like,
so his whole college career, in the couple years he's been in the pros, and he was like a three-year college player, right? Three, four-year mm-hmm. college player?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he wasn't like...
That's wild.
But that's, I mean, that's what we're starting to face down. And that's what, like, the Texans are obviously facing in this. But yeah, it is going to be, like, it might be... I don't want to go this far, but like it borderline might be franchise resetting for the person who loses on Saturday.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean,
you're just going to keep doing it. Like you might need to make a serious change. Like, and by franchise resetting, I mean like maybe like neither
coach
Bills.
Neither coach is getting fired. I mean, they already cleared out Stephon Diggs this past year. Like, I don't know about what do you? Yeah, what do you mean by that?
As
I don't
in, like, think... you change a lot of personnel on the football team, not the coach.
The
I
Bills
understand
just
do that.
Did though. That's what's crazy.
And then you're gonna like you're gonna change offensive coordinators again, or you're gonna change
Ravens
defensive coordinators again.
I don't know.
Like, but it feels like you're right back in the same boat. I think you are resetting in some ways where it's like you're stuck here again. You're not even stuck in neutral to the point that you can't get past Kansas City, because that is to me that is a logical place to get stuck. It snowed a foot outside. You're probably gonna get stuck in the snow. Losing to Patrick Mahomes in an AFC title game is to be expected. Like, it makes sense. But, like, not even getting to that point, it's going to crush you.
I wonder if a real quote-unquote reset would come from Baltimore, where, like Gold said, Buffalo already reset. Plus, if you remember, Joe Brady's getting interviews, so they might have to reset with their OC anyway. So there's another change potentially coming for Josh Allen in terms of who is the guy calling the plays for them. So it'd be interesting to see, because we've talked about before, it's always been the Bills needing to take a look in the mirror of, hey, Stephon Diggs is gone. What do you do about the defense? Head coach, obviously, we already talked about Sean McDermott. What do you need to do to try to get Josh Allen over the hump? It's like they've tried a variety of different ways to this point to try to help Josh Allen get there, and it hasn't quite happened, where the Ravens made the OC change to Todd Monken.
They lost their DC to Seattle.
They did.
Right, so they've gone through a couple of changes as well. It's more, I think, for the Ravens, you'd have to get another wide receiver for Lamar Jackson. Like,
hadn't that been the story for Baltimore for like a decade?
And Buffalo has tried that, but I feel like they're in another round.
And Zay Flowers is hurt right now, but he's a legit wide receiver. He's just banged up, and I haven't seen, he's not, they said, the latest report I saw on that for Sunday, at least, and by the AFC title game, I would think he'd be ready, but is that even if he doesn't practice this week, they're willing to still play. I mean, we talk all the time about Andy. Sure. Typically, if you don't play or practice, you don't play. But in the postseason, it also shifts. But also in Baltimore, they operate a little differently. It sounds like even if Zay Flowers doesn't practice all week, which he hasn't, that he could still play a little bit on Sunday.
Whose window do you think is closer to ending than Cody? Or do you think they're both the same in terms of the window length for Lamar and Josh Allen?
I don't think
Ravens
the window
is closer. I don't think either's ending.
Is there one that, like, if Josh Allen doesn't win this year, does it feel like, if he doesn't win it this year, he might never actually get there.
So one of those two is never going to go to a Super Bowl. I'm convinced of that.
Maybe so, but I disagree with the notion that either team's window is closing. Or you have guys named Mahomes, Josh Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Your window's never closed. I'm sorry. Maybe when they're 38 years old and they're still not. But when they're all 31 and under, 30 and under, I guess it is right now.
They're
all under 30. Like, there's no window that closes. There's certain years where you feel like this is, like last year we said, hey, this is your best shot to get the Chiefs. They're on the road throughout the playoffs and they didn't do it. Last year was their best shot, Cody. This year, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. Like, this year's team might be better prepared. In fact, we're going to get into that a little bit in the next hour. We'll also talk about what Travis Kelce had to say on a couple national shows yesterday. He dove deeper into retirement talk. That's next.